This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It was so lovely. It was gorgeous. Mm. It was really, really lush. It was such a nice day. Like, we just enjoyed wandering around. You could see the Statue of Liberty pretty well. You could see her in the distance. Though I kept thinking, she does look like a bloke from... Unless you're really close. I couldn't really tell. I couldn't see this. We didn't ever get quite close enough to see the spikes of her little hat.
That's true. We didn't.
No. But maybe, yeah, you did on your ferry.
Of her little hat. So you mean her crown?
Her crown, sorry.
Magnificent, isn't it? It's quite stuff. Yeah. It's another scale of, I don't know, just like what people can achieve. It just feels really peculiar. It's just the height of it.
Honestly, do you ever think that? Are you like, people have achieved, like... I am sitting in a flat right now, and there are cars outside on the road, and I'm using a laptop and a microphone. I can barely make a sandwich, and there are people out there who are... It honestly blows my mind. I feel like there must be grown-ups who are doing that, and I'm not expected to do that. And it really freaks me out sometimes. I'm like, no, these are people just like us who, they're not like special grown-ups, or they're not the teachers or something. Like, they're just... Like, we could do that. We just can't.
We could do that, we just can't.
Welcome to episode 171 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. This is our New York roundup of everything apart from the running nonsense. We had a total ball from start to finish, so this is our little travelogue covering flight, food, and fun times. We talk about going up and down lots of floors in lifts so often it felt like our ears were bleeding, and the terrible design of New York public toilets. We also talk about the Empire State Building, Central Park, hot dogs, cookies, and being completely rubbish in a crisis. We cannot wait to go back. This episode is sponsored by Randox Health. For 40 years, Randox have been focusing on testing to help protect your future health. Randox Health offers personalized health packages designed to give you detailed insight into your health, measuring data across a range of key areas, including heart, hormone, and vitamin health. Randox Health offers a range of tests across these areas, some of which you can do from home. Accessing data like this can help us make positive lifestyle changes to help prevent illness and improve our performance. Holly and I used the Female Hormone at Home kit, which has helped us to better understand our bodies and our health,
and it was brilliant for both of our age groups, with me flirting around the menopause and her being all annoyingly millennial. To find out more about all the services Randox Health offers and to book online, go to randoxhealth.com and use the exclusive code RUN10 for 10% off in-clinic and home health tests.
I also feel like we should begin this episode by giving a shout out to everybody who came. It feels really weird that we haven't spoken to all of our in-person pals, because there are a bunch of you now who we know in the flesh, and it was so lovely to see everybody at our live event last week.
Isn't it fun? Like when we did that, the last couple of, well, maybe when we did something live, like maybe it was Paris or maybe it was the National Running Show or something, but I had so many butterflies and nerves before doing it. But when we did that live with Jenny last week, I was so much more confident, and mostly because it felt like we were surrounded by friends on it, which sounds like really kind of ridiculous thing to say, but it was just so lovely to see so many familiar faces and have some hugs and stuff. And yeah, it was lovely, wasn't it?
It was really nice. It was just a dream. And yeah, an interesting experiment that we've not really done that before. Everything that we've done in person has been race related. And I don't mean it, in terms of getting into some sort of... I don't know.
You're tying yourself up in knots. So yeah,
I am. I mean, that sounded running. Like I was sort of doing a like politician blunder or something there. I mean, running. And it was really, really lovely to do something that was just like chilling out and hanging out with you all. And to also learn some stuff for the next time, I think, you know, like work out what it was that we loved about it or what we'd want to do better so that we can do it again. Because it was great.
Yeah, we've got loads of ideas. So we're going to come up with some really fun meetups, I think, in 2024.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch this space. Big things coming.
I've spoken like a true Instagrammer. Watch this space. Hashtag. Making memories.
Making memories.
Yeah.
And big things about to drop.
Big things about to drop. So like if this is going to be our episode where we're talking about what we did in New York apart from running, can you even remember any of it? It feels like a lifetime ago.
2 weeks have been a whirlwind. I mean, actually, it is less than 2 weeks since we got back. It's 10 days since we got back. Can you believe that? I'm already shouting at Doug again, bored of sitting around at home, feel like I've got nothing going on in my life.
I was speaking to someone yesterday where they were like, oh, how was it? Because I've not seen them since. And I was like, oh, it was all right. I was really, really knackered and really grumpy for a few days afterwards. Nothing changes, blah, blah, blah.
What's new?
And I was, exactly. And but I did, when I was speaking to them, think, oh, it was 3 weeks ago, you know. And,
I know.
And then to suddenly go, oh, no, hang on a minute. You know, it was
I had the same with some friends. Yeah. I went to dinner with some friends on Wednesday and they were like, how is New York? And I was like, I've seen you since then. But no, it's honestly been not long at all. So where would you like to start? Because we could talk the hind legs off of what's it about this whole experience. Because yes, there was running, but we also felt as though to just entertain you, perhaps make you salivate on your run, we would take you through all of the juicy details of what we ate, what we did, give you a bit of a New York travel guide.
Yeah, a rough guide, a very rough guide to our little bit of New York. I mean, we could just start at the beginning. We could just start at like... I can't even remember. Did we even talk about the flying? Oh, no, we must have talked about the flying part because you had that lovely person get in touch about me being nervous about flying.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. Shout out to somebody who got in touch. We will get back to you about giving Esther some flying tips on the pod. I think we mentioned it. We watched telly. I loved the journey there. I had the absolute time of my life. We had tea and scones in the sky. And yes, we just
afternoon tea.
We watched programs at the same time as each other where we went 3, 2, 1 and then press play.
Yeah. Oh,
I absolutely was obsessed with my food. Remember I had that like pesto pasta thing and I...
Yeah, you loved it.
I loved it.
And the guy, the kind of the chief sort of steward was phenomenal. But do you remember when he was giving us our little afternoon teas? Because we both sort of shrieked in appreciation. He was like, oh, that's so nice. Because we were like, oh my God, I know. Scones and jam.
He was really sweet. He was really sweet. But yeah, I can't remember whether Esther's already said this on the previous episode about New York, but he did introduce himself to us. So when we got on our flight, it was Virgin Atlantic, not sponsored. I don't know whether we would do a Branson spawn anyway, but it was they play tunes and one of them is Whitney Houston's maybe it was So Emotional, maybe it was I can't remember.
Don't know. We were singing along. Yeah,
we were singing along. How Will I Know? It's How Will I Know?
Yeah,
not well, that matters. How will I know? And the guy got on his little intercom thing that he goes to go, cabin crew, prepare for takeoff. And he went, ladies and gentlemen, apologies to interrupt Whitney Houston here. I know that's sacrilege, but, and introduced himself to us that way, which immediately warmed us to him. And we loved him for the rest of the flight.
He was wonderful. I really, really liked him. We didn't have, like on the way back, we didn't have someone that was quite as amazing as him. So I was really hoping to get the same guy on the way back, but we didn't. But yeah, it was great. But do you know what I loved? Like, so I was really, really super nervous, mostly on takeoff. That's my thing. And that's my little thing. And then for the rest of it, it's fine.
That's so
and
me.
You don't like... I know. You don't like landing so much, but that's over quite quickly. So that was fine. So then we landed, but we were landing at about like 6:30 New York time. And do you know what? From then on, I could not be more proud of us. And I was at that point, I was so proud of how we, and I know we are both grown women. And so why shouldn't we be able to navigate things like JFK Airport and figure out which way to go and kind of not be scared.
Get the subway.
Get the fucking subway. Within an hour of landing at JFK, we were on an actual subway, staring at each other like shit, you know.
We did it. I was really proud of us too, because I think when we flew in and I was looking at the New York skyline and stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing, because I've spoken like a true Brit fangirl of America. I was like, oh my God, it's like every film we've ever seen. It's like we're in Friends. It's like we're in Big. And we did that the whole time. It was actually when we touched down and we had to find the subway and stuff. Obviously, there's no language barrier, really to speak of. But it still very much felt like that quite frightening feeling of like, oh my God, I'm here and my tether has been cut and I'm just let loose in a new place in a foreign country. And it was a little bit like, I don't know what we're supposed to do. And I have to admit, I'm so sorry to any New Yorkers who are listening, but I personally believe that our underground train system is much more self-explanatory.
Yes, so do I.
It took a while to get our heads around it. Maybe it's just because we know what we know, but I don't know whether the Bronx is eastbound. and you're kind of expected to know that as soon as you get onto a train, and it's like, oh.
But also some of the kind of the destination, like the end of the line stops that they would say, oh, it's going to here, were quite long, like 3 words. And at some point where you're navigating the map, it would say the last 2 words, and other points it would just say the first bit. And you're like, is it 34th Street? Or is it something else completely? It was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I do think that if anyone from the, the board of, board of streets in New York is listening, I would recommend personally you change some of your street names to things that are a little bit more weird, like we have Elephant and Castle. You're not going to forget that. I feel like it's quite difficult to know. I do get it because it's great when you're walking around because it's in blocks and you can just walk down one straight street and know, okay, I'm on First Avenue and I'm going east towards this thing or whatever. And I started to get by the end that the streets intersect with the avenues. And I was like, okay, I kind of am starting to see the map of how it works. But on a tube, when you're thrust underground and you're just, you know, having to pop up at something called 42nd Street or something, it's like, I don't know what that is. Tell me what's around it. What's the vibe of the place? Yeah. That's what I need to know.
Yeah. I found it so, you know, like when I was going the wrong way for the marathon, I was trying to call an Uber. And there was a bit there where I knew what I was supposed to say to the Uber, and I just didn't have the information to hand because my map wasn't working. So I knew that what I had to say to him was, I'm standing on the corner of 34th and something something. But there were no signs to tell me what the something something was. So like I found, the street thing, because the avenues are so wide, and I think everyone is just, it's assumed that you're going to know that you're on whatever,
7th Broadway Avenue or whatever.
Didn't have a fucking clue. Anyway, I'm on the corner of 34th and 7th. But yeah, no, I didn't. I was not
just
on the corner
a pizza slice.
Yeah. but we talked about that stuff,
didn't we? About your that we're skipping forward to Sunday morning, I suppose, a little bit, aren't we? There, should we
go back?
Should we do as we arrive? We find our kind of place in Times Square, and I honestly think that first night we were in such a daze, we just grabbed a sort of we did grab a pizza slice, so it wasn't from anywhere we would necessarily recommend.
No, it was a shitty pizza slice in a kind of slightly down at hill. Place that was being free. We
deli
were quite
thing.
Late. Yeah, it was late, wasn't it? It was like probably 9:30, 10 or something by the time that we got there. And it was just sort of because our hotel was in Times Square, which we realized was just like the Piccadilly Circus of.
Yeah.
We sort of should have known that before, but we didn't realize. But it was like super busy, heaving with people like going out and stuff like that. Yeah. So we just found somewhere that did pizza and cake and stuff, and we just grabbed a pizza. My thing at that point was that I was coming off the subway, and I honestly thought that I'd either wet myself or I'd started a period again. So we'd shifted from one thing to another, and I'd sort of sat up and I just felt something, and I was like, oh God, not another frigging period because of the stupid HRT, and which I'd been taking wrong. And anyway, it's another podcast.
I mean, potential new name for the podcast, not another frigging period. I do quite
not
like that.
Another So I've been sort of coping with all these. It turned out it was none of these things. And what happened was I had a hole in the gusset area of my jeans, and I had tentatively
second mention of gusset in 2 weeks on the pod.
Yeah, you know, I had tentatively had a little feel just to see if I could feel a wet patch, and realised I had an actual hole letting in air right where you don't want it to be, right in that bit of your jeans. And then I was like, "Oh, honey, I've got a hole in my jeans."
Managed it very well, because we still had to negotiate ourselves back to Times Square to get to our hotel. And it just gave us a mission. It gave us a new mission to complete a side quest for Saturday. Yeah. And we were very fortunate to be in Times Square. And I mean, there is every shop that you could possibly imagine. So, yes, I forgot about that. And you didn't complain about it very much.
Well, because as soon as we got to the hotel, well, the following morning, I just put leggings on, and because I'd packed lightly with only one pair of jeans. But because I tend to buy my jeans from Vinted, they do tend to be on the kind of the downward
the worn
curve.
Yes. Okay. They're on their way out from the start. I wanted to do a shout out to, and this is, I mean, we, as you guys know, we went with Sports Tours, but it's I don't know whether they're affiliated in any way, but the hotel that they put us up in was the Marriott Marquis, and it was so freaking cool. That was,
it was amazing,
insane arriving. It was really, it felt like, oh my God, we are in the US, because it was just huge. Our ears took an absolute battering the entire time, because we were on the 42nd floor of this tall hotel, and every day was popping up and down and pressurizing this and squeezing my nose, and oh my God.
No,
but it was incredible.
It was
such
so
cool
funny
hotel.
It was a huge hotel. To be on the 42nd floor was like, it was vertigo inducing, but yeah, our ears were popping all over the place. But that's, yeah, the first thing we did when we got there was to zoom up to the 42nd floor, find our room, which we squealed with delight at, because we had,
it was amazing.
It was two double beds. So we were like, ah, the luxury of space. It was just lush.
I know.
Wasn't it? Really, really nice.
It was epic. We really, really loved it. It was so comfy the whole time. All the staff was so lush. It was just, I really enjoyed it. It was a really lovely hotel experience. And I haven't actually told you this, Esther, because I know you weren't such a fan, but I was obsessed with the This Works shampoo, and because it was all kitted out with This Works stuff. I was obsessed with that shampoo and conditioner that came in the shower, and it was the best my hair's felt in ages. And I searched for it when we got home. Yeah. So I was like, I'm actually just going to buy that, because it was so good. It's a specific promotion with the Marriott that you can't, they don't sell their shampoo and conditioner. So I'm absolutely gutted. And if anybody knows how I can possibly get my hands on some This Works shampoo and conditioner, I would love to know, because my hair felt just glorious through the whole trip. We just loved it. We were a bit giddy about the whole hotel thing, because it was really, felt really lovely. We're not classy, and so it was a real treat for us.
It was everything, because I love going to the bathrooms of hotels and just like, and finding the This Works pillow spray. I was like, oh, Holly, we got the pillow spray. It's like,
I've got the pillow spray in my bag. I smuggled it home.
Oh, it was just, yeah, God. It was lovely. But then, of course, we opened the curtains and looked out the window and then almost fainted, because we were 42 floors up, and it was like, it's a long way down. That was quite a phenomenal view.
Everything did feel incredibly high. Like, I can't remember whether I was saying that with you. We've definitely said it to each other, but also was saying to some friends the other day that, like, going, because obviously then we went to London a few days later to see you guys at the live show, and it felt like London was so squat, like it was so short, because New York is just towering above us the whole time. And it was, it was beautiful. It was a very different kind of beautiful to anything that I've experienced before. And I loved it.
It's quite magnificent, isn't it? It's quite it's another scale of just, I don't know, just like what people can achieve. It just feels really peculiar to it's just the height of it. Yeah, weird.
Honestly, do you ever think that? Are you like, people have achieved, like, I'm sitting in a flat right now, and there are cars outside on the road, and I'm using a laptop and a microphone. I can barely make a sandwich, and there are people out there who are... It honestly blows my mind. I feel like there must be grown-ups who are doing that, and I'm not expected to do that. And it really freaks me out sometimes. I'm like, no, these are people just like us who they're not like special grown-ups, or they're not the teachers or something. Like, they're just like, we could do that. We just can't.
We could do that. We just can't.
Oh my God. I'm going to get my notes up, though I'm not going to read them word for word, because we'd be here for hours, wouldn't we? But should we discuss vaguely?
Let's discuss, because that's kind of basically Saturday. Yeah, because that's basically Friday. That's just arriving and stuff. Well, I think the first thing I wanted to just start with, if that's okay with you, and it might be pushing ahead with your notes a little bit, was just to talk more generally about New York and its toilets. And
that's like
maybe
the whole theme of my notes, so don't worry.
I mean,
that's how I tied it all together in my little missive I wrote for Doug. It's all based on whether or not we managed to do a shit there.
there is this really strange thing that we didn't figure out until the following morning. We'd gone to a neighbouring hotel. We'd gone to a Westin, hadn't we, for the race briefing the following morning. I know that we've got other things to talk about before then that was joyous, and we'll go back to that because that's food related.
Oh yeah, but we had in the meantime had loads of coffee. Well, maybe we can mention it while we're there. We discovered this amazing place called Juniors. Which, oh my god, yeah. I feel like us saying this, probably people who are from the US or at least from New York are going to be listening to this. Yeah. And this is going to be the equivalent of someone being like, we found this incredible place, it's called Pret-a-Manger or something. Yeah, but yes. We loved it because it really felt like we'd fallen out of our hotel into this experience of New York, where the waiter was like, we both came away like honestly questioning whether we wanted to stay with our partners. We were like, I mean, so lovely here.
He was so great.
I would have honestly dropped everything for him. I would have gone to the ends of the earth for him.
But I'm not sure that I would have paid the same amount of money for the same breakfast again. That was the only thing, wasn't it? So it was super expensive, but it was just delicious.
And we had great.
Like the best breakfast experience we could possibly have wanted to have had on that Saturday morning, where you had something very complex with eggs, didn't you?
I had eggs Florentine. I had eggs Florentine.
There we go.
Which was delish. And then I had them with home fries, which was basically like sort of patatas bravas.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Amazing.
And I so mine was good. Really boring. I had like a bagel with Canadian bacon, and it was just like one of those things where you go, this is the best bagel and the best bacon I think I've ever eaten in my life. It was just astonishing.
I love it.
Oh, it was so nice. And then he kept on refilling our coffee, didn't he?
Bringing us coffee, and it was amazing. And we were so giddy and silly. Like, we couldn't get over the fact that there was a thing of maple syrup on the table just there. He obviously clocked as well that we were like little schoolgirls about it all. And he was like, come and see all the cheesecakes. And like took us to go see all the cheesecakes. But yes, you're right. Then after buckets of coffee, he even gave us our last one in a reusable cup, because in a disposable cup, because he was like, oh, you might want to head off before you finish it. So sweet.
So sweet.
We went to the Westin, and this was for the race briefing. And it also was Esther was doing some bits of sort of filming and stuff with sports tours. But we very much needed the loo at this point, basically.
We were desperate. And I think because both of us, we get stage fright, don't we, in the hotel room kind of thing, because the bathroom's just there. And we were like, well,
also we hadn't had our coffee at that point, had we? So it was
true.
We weren't
sort of ready.
No.
But I think that there was, you know, you're just sitting there going, well, we're going to a chain hotel. There's going to be ample opportunity to explore their loos and do what we want to do in privacy and comfort. But no, that was not the case.
Alas,
at all.
There are no loos, because that was what Esther and I really benefited from into Berlin, because we did have a loo in our room, which was the wee loo. But then there were plenty of like random loos about the hotel, like, you know, loos on off like, the corridor, or like I don't know, there are just loos, aren't there? Loos for the guests,
just everywhere
when you're not actually in your room.
So we had one that was our designated poo loo, didn't we, that was down the hallway, and it was like, ah, brilliant, okay, great, that's nice times.
But so Holly in New York, is it? I don't know about the rest of America, but it's not the vibe in New York at all. I was brave, wasn't I, when we got to the Westin, and at this point
you
I
went
was
on
like
a mission.
Yeah. And I was like, is there a public loo I can use here? And they were like, oh, actually, you have to have a key card. Because I do get it, I guess, that it's on time. It's that one wasn't quite on Times Square, but it's in central New York. It's in Manhattan, and it's going to be so busy. And there are probably people who might be just like tourists rushing in and trying to use the loo all the time or whatever. So I get it. Yeah, they gave me a little key card thing, and then I went and tried to go to the loo, and it was like, oh, It was the door, first of all, was like, this is like the dream. For some reason, Esther, did you had a premonition about this, because it was basically very like the Lewes that you dreamt would be the Lewes before the New York Marathon.
It is. It is.
They were like,
this is saloon nightmarish. Doors. Classic nightmarish. But not just saloon doors, right? I mean, they were tiny, tiny doors. You could see your knees.
They were really small
under
doors. You could basically see your knees. You could certainly see feet and calves, which was really strange. Sometimes you could see the bottom of toilet bowls. Yeah, I saw that in the one in Central Park. Then it was like, you couldn't see your head over the top, but for the sake of a good
joke,
you basically could. If you jumped, you definitely could. And the weird thing about the ones in this hotel that we went into was it was like slatted, so you could see through the slats a bit as well. So I was trying so desperately because I was like, I'm going to be really ill if I don't go to the loo, but like I'm basically staring some woman in the face who's waiting. It was so weird. I don't understand. So I kept just going. I kept just sitting on the loo for what seemed like a socially acceptable amount of time, and then just getting out and washing my hands, and then trying again in a bit, like maybe no one will be in there. And then I'd just start to get comfortable enough and someone would walk in and I'd be like, oh God. So then I'd come out and wash my hands and pretend I'd gone for a wee. People must have thought that I had cystitis. It was...
It's just... Oh. But then we thought, oh, well... Maybe this is just a kind of an anomaly at the Westin, right? Maybe this is just what they do weirdly in the New York Westin, and it won't be this. But it turns out that every single public toilet we went to had these weird doors, like where there is absolutely
you can
no
kind of see through the gap and stuff.
So yeah, and those kind of the saloon doors where you can see feet and like hotels that I've been to that aren't in New York tend to have like the floor to ceiling door, you know?
Oh yeah. And
sometimes
even
a bit of piped music, you know.
Yeah. That's the best. If you don't have floor to ceiling, which maybe it's very spoiled of us, but it's quite common in the UK, I would say, especially in things like restaurants, hotels, for anyone who doesn't know. In restaurants, hotels, or I don't know, maybe even some shops and stuff, to have a loo that is floor to ceiling, where like there's no gap at all. Either it's a thing on its own, or it's like it's cubicles but they're like completely separated. It's maybe more common, like things like supermarkets, public loos, I don't know, in like schools or unis or whatever.
Even then, it would go further down and further up.
It would go further down and further up. So like that, you're not seeing anyone's like feet or anything. Like it would, it's barely visible gap. So you can hear. So it's still sometimes a bit stage frighty, but it's like, it's not like you don't feel exposed.
Yeah. And so I want to know, is because we thought we realized that was a sort of a Manhattan wide thing. The more that we investigated, is that an American thing or is it a New York thing?
Yeah. Other US listeners, is that a thing? Because you're so brave. If so, you're very brave. And thinking about
very
it,
brave.
I suppose in American TV shows where there's like schools and stuff, the bathroom, the bathrooms will generally be those kind of like things with not very much door.
But it's just, what is it? Do you not want privacy when you go to the loo? Do you want to chat? Is that a thing? I don't know. It was echoes of actual proper nightmares that I have had, where I've been visible while being on the loo. Just,
like Doug
awful,
at Glastonbury. We always think that, I think about that. But yes, like Doug at Glastonbury, where he was with one of his friends and they could stare at each other in the eyes while doing a shit.
It's
not ideal.
Not nice.
It's not what you want. The next place that we encountered the same loo situation was at the expo. I'll briefly, we can go over that briefly.
Oh God,
can't we?
I'd forgotten all about that.
I know. Yeah. We went to the expo, which was cool. I enjoyed it. I don't think there's that much to say about that. The main thing that we were excited about was that next we were going to Central Park and the Met and stuff. And in the meantime, we could pop up at Grand Central Station, which was very cool.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I picked up my race number at the expo, which I'd completely forgotten about.
And then, yeah, then we got the subway, at which point we were like, we felt like old hands, or at least Holly did.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. Holly just leads
really
at this point.
I'm really weird about underground tube systems, though, aren't I? I'm really weird about it. I like to understand the system, and then it's not like me. I'm such a faffer, and usually I'm really gormless, and I don't really know what's going on. But I think it is my experience of going on my year abroad when I was in uni, and then living in Paris and living in Madrid for a bit. I was on my own. I had to learn it, and it meant that I developed a strange obsession with understanding the tube systems of different cities and how they function. And so it's the first thing I do now, where I'm like, right, okay, how does this line intersect with this? And if we get on here, where are we getting off?
I love that. If someone is willing to lead, then I am more than willing to follow. So I just, as soon as Holly said that, I was like, right, okay, I'm just not going to look at anything. It was great. I loved it.
Yeah, but I do that with you quite a lot of the time. If we're like walking around, I'll just like follow Esther. Maybe not so much when we're in a brand new place, but certainly when we're in London, I'm like, she knows what's going on. And then suddenly we get on a tube and it goes, welcome to Hammersmith. And we're like, fuck.
I don't have a fucking clue. Because we're not paying any attention. Because all I know is Sydenham and Croydon. Yeah.
But we loved Grand Central Station as well. That was beautiful.
Oh,
it was
my
really
God.
Stunning.
And I had never done that before. That was the way that we kind of emerged like little moles from the subway. And we kept going, oh, there's a sign. We're going to get there. And we just sort of crept up into it. And everyone else was just doing their thing. And obviously just putting up with us, going, oh my God. taking loads of pictures of the ceiling.
And they were like, it's a train station. Okay, calm down. Did we say, no, I'll get to my favorite New York quote in a bit. Because
that's
tomorrow.
That's the day, isn't it? Yeah. But yeah, that was truly awesome.
That was great. Then we headed to the Met, but I'm not going to lie, we can almost omit the Met because it was gorgeous and beautiful and we really enjoyed wandering around. However, we really couldn't be asked to pay
$40 or whatever.
Really uncultured for this, but we were like, oh, there's so many things that we want to do. So we just wandered around the outside and then wandered around the kind of like main entrance and pretended to be Anna Wintour for a bit. And it was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my aggressive doorbell. I'll ignore
it. Was quite aggressive. Are you sure?
Yeah.
You can get it if you want. Oh, okay.
Fine. Okay, I'll quickly get it. Sorry.
Oh, she's doing it. Oh. Oh, they really want you.
This is a very good time to subscribe to Women's Running or think about giving a gift subscription for that big date in December you might be thinking about. Because right now, when you subscribe, as well as receiving the best magazine in the world, you'll also get a free exclusive Women's Running technical tee worth £35. It's beautiful, it's blue, and it says Happy Running on the back to help motivate you and your brilliant running buddies too. Just go to shop.womensrunning.co.uk/become a member and enter X23WRPOD, that's pod, at the checkout for your free tea. And please remember to send us a pic of you wearing it.
Nice, sorry. You can see my cheese and
was
crackers.
It for you?
And my, well, the cheese I put away. But yes, it was for me. He did you hear him ring it again? He was like,
Yeah.
Anyway, so shall we head to Central Park in the tale at this point?
Let's head to Central Park because that was lush.
It was beautiful. It was really gorgeous. I was blown away by Central Park. I really thought that, and I think that was a real moment where like we'd had an amazing time. We were having an incredible time, but we were definitely quite overwhelmed because of like, it's busy and there are so many tourists. And I guess where we were in Manhattan, we were in Times Square and then we'd headed to like the Museum Mile bit. And so it did feel a bit like a toy town. And then going to Central Park and just like seeing New Yorkers wandering about and, you know, families with kids playing and walking their dogs and going for a run, it made us feel, I think, a lot more at home. I certainly felt very comforted by Central Park.
Yeah, it's quite an oasis really, isn't it, in the middle. And it was just, it was lovely. And I was determined because the last time I was there, which was almost 25 years ago, I went into the bottom of it and mm-hmm. never went up as far as we were, and completely yeah. missed seeing the Imagine bit and going to the John yeah. Lennon Memorial and all. And I really, really desperately wanted to do that. So we were strolling through, and we got ourselves American food. We went to a van, didn't we?
Yeah. Esther got a hot dog and I got a big giant salted pretzel, and we were so happy.
We were. Although we then tried to go to the loo again after that, and we were very unhappy because of the same situation.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was even worse. The two cubicles were next to each other, weren't they? So we were side by side, and neither of
just
us...
Just knowing what both of us were going through.
No.
No. No.
Yeah.
That wasn't the one.
Not fun.
We also had to queue for ages to do that, and then we were like, oh, didn't even do it.
Yeah. It was a disaster.
But that was stunning. So, and then we decided to head for...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The jeans were still a thing. Which I believe you were planning on resolving as well. But we also, we decided first we would head to the Empire State, because I can't believe this yes. is all one day while we're talking about it.
Nor can I.
We wanted to see New York from the top a little bit. And it was, I loved that. The Empire State was one of my highlights. It was really cool. Mm-hmm.
Me too. And you'd never done it. And I'd done it before. And I thought that I would be like, you know, whatever, done it. But they changed the experience. They've improved the experience so much. It was, I'd forgotten loads of it, I think. And it was genuinely jaw-dropping, wasn't it? Like when you just go through the entrance, it's so kind of, you've got the feeling of sort of 1920s music hall as you go, you know, everything feels kind of, you know, it's all kind of bellhop, you know, that kind of feel, isn't it? And it's all
and you get to look
gorgeous
through, peephole things, and they've recreated New York in the 1950s or whenever they build the doodah.
20s.
20s?
20s, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry, that's why you said 20s. I can't believe people could build stuff like that in the 20s. I've clearly learned a lot from the museum.
If I got that, I might have that completely wrong.
When you zoomed in, there were like little shoeshine boys and people being like, get your newspapers here.
1930, so I'm completely wrong.
Okay, somewhere between us. So that was amazing. I found the museum super interesting. They had a whole bit about the construction, but then they also had a bit about all the pop culture where Esther and I got to see, you know, people such as RuPaul, such as Spider-Man, such as Tom Hanks doing various things in the Empire State Building. Yeah, which
also
was cool.
King Kong. Yeah, it was great.
King Kong.
Spidey.
There was a whole room where King Kong was like trying to get in to you.
Yeah.
That was really cool. I sent a picture of that to Doug because he's like, what are you up to today? And then I just sent a picture of the window with King Kong trying to get in, and he was like, what the fuck is happening? He was so confused by it. I thought that would be a really good tell as to what we were doing, but he had, he was like,
no,
what on earth is going on? No idea.
Well, it was amazing. It was lovely. And it's just also the people that the kind of, you know, the people around you that are part of Empire State that are guiding you to the lifts or whatever, they're all dressed in kind of 1930s kind of suits with the hats and looking beautiful. And you just feel
so
like you're part
New York.
Of something very, very
I feel
special.
Like they yeah. hire those people specifically for their accents because they were all so New York.
They were so New York. Weren't yeah, they? We were giggling, amazing. Weren't they? I've forgotten the phrases they were saying, but it was like totally New York, wasn't it?
It was crazy. Then our eardrums burst again as we went all the yes. way up and we
to the 80
got to see the
second.
View.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think it was, yeah.
It was really cool.
Oh, it was stunning.
And tried I think to take pictures of us, and he was like, "We were like, you don't understand. You can't take it from down there. We're going to have too many chins." And yeah. he was like, "Okay." He didn't know. He was Spanish. He didn't understand what was going on. Yeah. it was just great. It was. I loved that. It was really, really cool. And New York just looked. Yeah, it looked beautiful, didn't it? Though, interestingly, it had this kind of haze. And I remember that from going to China as well. And I think it's just when there's like so much in a city. I don't want to slag it off, but I guess there must be quite a lot of pollution and a lot of like steam. There's always steam coming up out of tubes and stuff over there. that like, it does have this, like in pictures, it looks like that. And you always just think, oh, I guess I'm just looking at like a cool kind of 90s picture of New York, but it does kind of have that like slight haze of the big smoke, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It did. Yeah. It did. But I was also like, I found it interesting to walk around to the side that looked over Central Park because I seem to remember when I was there before that I could see most of Central Park from that vantage point. And so it was quite interesting to see that at this time I couldn't because of all the building that's gone up in front of it. So you could see it, you can see where it is, but it is blocked by all these kind of mega
huge
skyscrapers
buildings
that flung up in the middle. Yeah. Yeah, but that was that was brilliant. That was absolute highlight. It was fabulous.
It was really cool.
And then
really
from
cool.
then, that was, I think, like basically the end of the day and we were going to go back to the hotel, weren't we? And so then that was my stupid moment because that was me trying to find replacement jeans. And by this stage, I was knackered and my feet were hurting and my legs were aching, which is not what you want to be feeling the day before a marathon. So
no.
This is the issue, isn't it? I think the issue about doing a marathon in somewhere as a massive tourist hotspot like New York, like when everyone says to you, "Oh, don't go on your feet too much," it's really, really difficult not to. Who wants to have one day? We had one full day in New York, which was that Saturday, and I didn't want to waste it by like lying in the hotel room and not looking at anything.
Yeah.
And it was, you know. But at that point, what I stupidly did was sort of send Holly on to use the loo, I think.
I did. You'll be all glad to know that I did an evacuation once Esther was looking for jeans.
And then I did a stupid thing of just basically going into about seven shops on a kind of all along that kind of stretch all the way back home, back to the hotel. But I did find some jeans, so it's fine eventually.
Yeah, and they're really lovely. They were very lovely.
Thanks.
Yeah, that I do feel you. That must have been quite tough, I think, knowing, and I'm really sorry if I led you astray. I was trying to think of things that could involve us kind of sitting on the subway and stuff, but it is just lots of walking, like even if you are doing that. So I think if I were to do it again, I would go for a longer time so that we could relax a bit more and not have to worry about the, I mean, I guess you don't want to go for ages because it does get quite expensive, but at least
just
a couple of days
before.
One day before the marathon is fine.
Yeah.
Or one day before the marathon, but then an extra day at the end where you don't have to worry about it, where you can, because we did have Monday morning, but then we kind of had to head off to the airport and stuff after lunch and it all went a bit quickly. So that evening, the only other thing about Saturday is that evening we had huge bowls of pasta. Do you remember? And I can't remember the name of the place.
God.
It was like Diana's or something like that.
Yeah, it was. Oh, my God. What was the name of it? And it was perfect. Wasn't it perfect?
We just wanted to find someone that did big bowls of pasta. And I mean, everybody else who was doing the New York Marathon had exactly the same idea. So it was Hevo. Yeah. But
it was amazing.
It was really good. And we just had like bowls as big as our face. I honestly was saying to Esther, I felt like every time it was so much that I would shovel it in my mouth and then I would look down and I'd be like, there's still the same amount. which is a classic peep show moment where I can't remember, Mark has like couscous or something and he's like, I look down and the same amount is still there every time. And that's how we felt, but with joy rather than sadness.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh, I just felt guilty because I was like, I'm never going to be able to eat all of this. And the guy's going to think that I hate him. I hate his food. I think he's a total piece of shit. But luckily
he didn't.
That didn't happen.
Oh, no, it was lovely.
Of course.
It didn't at all. Like, in fact,
no worries. He called,
well, it's not even no worries. I think he called you beautiful, didn't he?
Did he?
So, Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, a daily occurrence for me.
There we go. But yeah, that was, I think we chose so wisely. We fueled up. It was amazing. It was so good. So good. And then it's quite nice now because then we can rattle past all of the boring running bit.
Of course, up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Me wondering why you were up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You going, what are you talking about? It's 5 o'clock in the morning.
All of those
clocks have gone back.
fun times. So then I do, my little run on
little jog,
little trot. And
if you are new to listening to the podcast, do listen to 2 episodes ago where we do discuss the New York Marathon in detail.
Promise. That's why we're just skipping over it now. And then, so we meet up in the play park where you've been trying not to look like a
I'm trying not to look like a predator because there's we've been told by a gorgeous listener, meet in this park because it's way easier. And it was way easier. That was such a shout, but I didn't realize it was going to be a full on chill. Like, it wasn't like Central Park vibes where people were sort of walking dogs and it was like a children's play area. So I was just sitting there like next to the swings, trying not to look too creepy. and then we headed to Shake Shack.
Oh, did we get the
really
first?
Good call? Oh, we did. We went to Levain. Which we taste tested these cookies on the episode. We loved them and they were a recommendation. I mean, lots of people love Levain Bakery, I think, but they were a specific recommendation from our gorgeous colleague, Kate, who has been to New York before. And we really liked them, but I think at this point we had just consumed more carb and sugar than any human being in the world is capable of. They were huge. But did a bit of a pathetic job of them.
But do you remember that I got mine free and I had no idea? So I was queuing up in my silly orange poncho that everyone's given at the end of the New York Marathon. And a lovely woman came over and just said, oh, you get to choose yours free. This is the thing that we're doing today. And I was like, oh my God, how lovely.
Sweet.
Very sweet. Very sweet. But yes, then we went to Shake Shack to get some chips.
We did.
And so
I don't know whether to mention this because it's a bit miserable, but we did experience a little bit of a shocking journey. Basically, the whole mission of getting our chips and getting back to the hotel, it took like 2 hours because, first of all, as we were queuing for our chips, there was a bloke behind us. And I feel awful now looking back because I thought he was being really grumpy because he was going, ugh. And I was like, sorry, mate, I don't really know. We're trying. We don't really know how to use these things. It was trying to like get us to put in an American number to order our chips. And we were like, we don't have one. And it was, we got there in the end and we ordered our chips. I say ours. I fully also had a huge portion of chips as if I'd just run a marathon. and then this bloke eventually got further on in the queue and stopped standing behind us going, ugh. But then a few minutes later, he collapsed in the Shake Shack. And
it was a real really shocker, wasn't it? So we were just standing there and he'd got his food and he was just trying to eat it or administer salt or something like that. And he just completely collapsed onto the floor. The Shake Shack was super, super busy. It was really scary because like it felt like only 5 of us had noticed and everyone else hadn't noticed. And certainly no one that worked there had noticed. And so I ran over to someone that worked there and went, that man's collapsed. Can you call an ambulance? And then
I got shouted at by a little boy.
You got shouted at by a little boy because
I'm not very good in a crisis. So I was going, it's okay, because I was trying to generally calm myself and other people around us down. And this little boy was like, it's not fucking okay. And I was like, I'm sorry. You're right. And I just don't know what else to do. And I was running around kind of going, is anyone a doctor?
But the reason why you were doing that was because a woman next to this chap who'd fallen over was sort of half-heartedly trying to administer CPR.
Yeah, like, so we were like checking.
So we thought, oh shit, he's dead.
If you collapse, it's obviously that's terrible, and you need to somebody needs to call an ambulance for you. But we did think that he had dropped dead because this woman was administering CPR,
but she wasn't administering it in a good way, was she? She was just using one hand, and like it was almost as if she was like looking at a watch or something. Maybe she was distracted. Maybe she was using a phone or something. But either way, she was just sort of
It seemed pummeling. Like panic had slightly ensued, hadn't it? And it was like whoa.
All that was happening was that she clearly hadn't checked whether to see if he was breathing or not. So she was because she was doing that, it made us go mental because we were just like going, oh my God, he's died in front of us and this is awful.
And
we were running
not
out
to make it all about us, but I was like, oh God, and he was so angry with us because we couldn't work out how to use the machine mere minutes ago. Like, we've really given him a horrible last few minutes of his life. However, luckily we couldn't find a doctor, but somebody found a police officer who came over and helped him, and someone called an ambulance, and he sat up a few minutes later, and I have no idea, but I imagine that he was fine because he was eating his chips and getting some electrolytes back in him again and stuff not long after. It was much hotter than everybody was expecting on the day, and I think he just wasn't very well.
I don't understand that would be an interesting thing. I know we always say, oh, we should get someone on to talk about that. But
we should ask Juliet or something, though, why that might happen.
Yeah, the physiology of why that happens. Because, like, I saw that quite a lot when I saw it at London Marathon, I think particularly the first time. But I definitely saw it at the Bath Half. And I think, like, we've talked about that before. I think that with the Bath Half, that was because some people turned up to that and just don't train for it, and they just sort of wing it on the day. And when we did it last October, it was really hot, wasn't it? So I remember seeing people collapsed, and there were way more kind of like St. John's ambulance stuff going on there than I remember seeing at the London Marathon, because people were just sort of falling over. But I don't know what it is that makes people collapse. What's the physiology? What's going on inside their bodies? And it's a bit like, you know, when you saw those, it was the two blokes that were running towards the end of the London Marathon a few years ago, where they were both trying to beat each other. But then one of them, just before the last corner, staggers over, goes completely white and can't sort of get, and his, the guy that he was battling with actually helps him up. And helps him over.
Yeah, I remember.
But he looked green, and it's like,
He didn't look well.
No. So what? I don't understand what's going on internally.
We'll ask Juliet the question, and we'll let you know next week. Because I don't want anyone to be frightened as well from doing it. Because I mean, every so often that stuff does happen, doesn't it? And we all are aware. But most of the 50,000 people all had a big old smile on their face and a big cookie or a big plate of chips, but bless him, he'd obviously not had a good day. So that happened, and that was a bit frightening. Eventually we got our chips, and I don't mean that. I don't mean to sound exasperated at unconscious man, but we didn't have to wait a while for our chips. And then we hopped on a subway, and I say hopped on like that was an easy feat. It was like,
oh my God,
absolute sardines. And this is where I had my favorite New York quote from the whole time.
Yes, go on then.
Which was when I've been waiting to do this. But when I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, this is like New York from the films, because we were being shoved onto this subway and we were so squished. You couldn't hold anything. You were just like bashing into people. I had a huge rucksack on because I brought Esther's coat and like bits and bobs that I needed for watching the marathon. I had my pom-poms and my cowbell in there. and so I was like bashing people in the face with it. And right at the last minute, when we were like, this is so heaving, but like someone's gonna, that's gotta be it now. They're gonna close the doors. A guy and his friends came on and just like pushed their way on, like nearly pushing everyone over onto each other in a sort of crush. and it was so full and everybody was a bit like, hey, what the hell? And he went, this is New York fucking city, bitch. And it was amazing. We loved it so much. Even though we were just trapped against other people, it did make me laugh because I was like, I guess this is what I kind of imagined.
This is it. Yeah. And like the only, I felt it was quite weird because it was sort of slightly out of body experience. Normally that's the sort of thing that would send me spiraling, particularly when it was quite tricky to get off. I think when it got to our stage,
there were a lot of our stop, marathon like, runners I can't even get off. And people struggling to get off. Yeah, it was a nightmare.
It was a bit of a nightmare. My favourite bit also about that journey was watching fellow, I know this is cruel, but it was because I was within the pain as well, it was seeing fellow marathoners trying to negotiate the stairs to the subway. Like all of us.
And we went in the wrong one.
None of us could get down. And then the we're like, oh my God,
police
the pain,
sent us
the
back up and round. Oh God, yeah.
That's so painful.
Oh, it was, I did feel sorry for you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
tough. It was intense.
It was tough.
But what did but we do then? We went back to hotel and we went to the sports tour's big party. So they were hosting a party in the Hard Rock Cafe, which was really lovely.
Oh, the venue was incredible because we spent about half an hour just wandering around.
That was for all the runners, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that was so sweet, actually, because do you remember like when we walked in? And this is after I'd had a shower and, you know, felt a bit more normal and stuff. But as we walked in, they were applauding. All the sports tours people were applauding everybody that had run, which, I mean, that's no mean feat because I think they'd got something like 1,200 runners. So they'd got a lot of clapping.
It was loads. But they clapped everybody. Everybody had a hero's welcome. Like Esther said, then we spent about an hour just walking around looking at various things that Jimi Hendrix has touched before.
Janis Joplin's trousers.
There were Janis Joplin's trousers. and then it was really lovely because I was like, oh God, are we just going to sort of stand in the corner and be a bit like, oh. But we met a lovely listener, which was gorgeous. I wish I'd written down her name. And we also met some of the people that we'd seen at the briefing the day before and ended up natching with them for ages and planning what we were all going to do next. Everyone was trying to convince me to run a marathon. It was just it was a hoot. And we had free booze. So at this point, we were getting a bit pissed as well.
Yeah, it was lovely. But there was a point at which we were kind of like an hour and a half, 2 hours in. And I think we just wanted some space. We just wanted a bit of, we were like, I want to go and get, like my mum had for my birthday, she'd given us some actual dollar bucks to use in that USA. And and I had said to her at the time, oh, I'll tell you what, I'll use these to buy me and Holly a cocktail. And at that point, we'd had a couple of beers and we were like, can't get a cocktail here because it was all like sort of house booze kind of thing. And we're like, shall we just go somewhere quieter and small? Because it was loud and stuff. And we're just like, let's go somewhere quieter, have a really nice cocktail. And we found somewhere, didn't we? And it was
oh my God, we did. I'm a bit frustrated because I thought I'd written it down and I can't find the name in my notes, unfortunately.
But it was a little Mexican bar.
Because
so it was
incredible.
It was so lovely. We'd walked opposite Hard Rock and we'd walked down a road and then we went to a bar that was closing or whatever. And we said, oh, where can we go and get a drink? And they said, oh, why don't you just go there? And we would never have spotted it or gone there had we not known because it was quite little.
Absolutely not.
And quite hidden.
I am going to see if I can find it. Sorry, I'm looking on Google Maps. This is really annoying for everybody.
But there were people in there. There was a few tables, so people were eating, but they had a bar. And so we just went in and we said, oh, we just want a couple of drinks. Is that all right? And so they allowed us to sit at the bar, which felt very New York. And they said, what would you like? And without seeing a menu, we just went, could we have a couple of margaritas, please? And she came over with two of the biggest margaritas we have ever seen in our little lives. It was like your peep show thing, wasn't it? That we started drinking these things and they were not going down.
They were not going down. We kept looking at them and they were not going down. And there was, oh there was my wonderful gosh, moment they were.
When I think we were halfway down and Holly turned to me and she said, oh my God, I'm fucked.
Yeah, we just suddenly realized that we were like, what the hell is in these? Oh, they were incredible, but they were the strongest things ever. It was when we started, we were really pouring our hearts out about something. I can't remember now.
No idea. Yeah,
and I was like, we are absolutely fucked. And we actually had to abandon the last bit of our margaritas. It was like three margaritas in one. It was huge.
Huge. And we could do...
But I have stopped thinking about that margarita. I'm actually going to do that tonight. Me and Doug are going on a date night tonight. And I am going to go somewhere where I can have a margarita. And it's never going to live up to that one, ever. Being in New York... We were a bit dressed up too, because we got a little bit dressed up to go to the party and just sitting there and talking about the day and getting, I was so proud of Esther and we were so overexcited about everything that just sitting there with a margarita in a New York bar, and I cannot fucking remember the name of the place. It was something Amore or something. It was like, but it was opposite Havana, the big, that's a huge Cuban cocktail bar and thingy. It was opposite there.
Yeah.
Because they were closed and they were just like, oh, go over there, they do incredible margaritas, and we were like, perfect, yeah, we will. And oh my god, it was amazing. That was a real highlight for me, even though
massive highlight
was our undoing, because it completely fucked us up, and then we were really hungover the next morning.
Yeah, we were felt terrible. We couldn't even the following morning. So I know that night, what I wanted to do was to go back to the hotel room and then just eat loads of sweets and chocolate that we bought the day before. Couldn't. I was too full from booze and food and stuff like that. So I couldn't even do that. And we just went to bed. So that was
it. But we absolutely conked. I tried to write, because I barely had a time. We didn't really have time to call home or anything, because the time difference and because we were so busy. So I had been writing a little here's everything that we did today to send to Doug, so that at least when he woke up in the morning, he had an idea of that we were alive and that we'd had a cool day. And I got two sentences in. I just found it earlier when I was trying to find my notes, and then I had to completely abandon it. And then I remember just sending him a text being like, too drunk, we'll tell you when we get home. Because I couldn't even type.
It was honestly, it went from 0 to 100, didn't it? We'd had a couple of friendly beers.
Oh my god. They were lethal. And they were laced with chili around. It was like tahini. Yeah. I don't know how you say it. Around the rim, as well as salt. They were just But yeah, just destructive.
I know. Felt completely destroyed. So destroyed that night which was lovely actually, because I did sleep, which was nice. But the following morning we felt sick as pigs, and we had to get out of the hotel the following morning, didn't we? And
we had such a habit of doing that. I've vomited in an Airbnb toilet while the woman's come to do the check. I'm so bad at saving the night that I'm going to get incredibly drunk for the night before we have to check out the next morning. It always happens.
It was awful. And we were we had promised ourselves that we were going to go back to Junior's for breakfast in the morning, but we were just can't really face it, can't get out, feeling a bit hot, that kind of everything.
Yeah, it was that vibe.
So for some reason, the following morning, we decided instead, because we had a few things on our checklist, and we decided instead to get on a sub. No, we could leave our cases, thankfully, but we were going to get on a subway and go down to the financial district so that we could see the World Trade Center Memorial.
And we were thinking, sort of mosey down to Staten Island to be able to, not to actual Staten Island, but just to be able to see the Statue of Liberty and Staten Island in the distance and stuff.
And that was just, that was such a lovely experience. And I couldn't have...
Yeah.
I couldn't have suggested, I don't know, I couldn't have made it a better day. It was such a lovely thing to do. We were strolling around, because we'd got there quite early. We were able to get actual coffee and bagel from an actual coffee and bagel stand, which was big
and
tick.
It was $2 compared to the $18 I paid for a coffee and a croissant the day before from Starbucks. It was a joy. The guy was lovely. He was a local, and he just told us what we should do. And I honestly, I'll remember that day as a really nice day forever, because it was beautiful. We had, apart from getting on a flight, we had no worries. Esther had done the marathon. we had kind of done the bits and bobs of like social media stuff that we wanted to do while we were there. We'd recorded the podcast and we were like, oh, let's just wander. And we didn't have intense plans. We didn't do any museums or any kind of like, we just walked and walked. And
it was just, it was lovely. Lush, wasn't it? And you, I mean, walking.
Walked off our like, hangovers with coffee and we fresh did. Air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the Trade Centre, like the memorial was incredibly moving and very, very poignant.
Yeah.
And, but then we sort of, we moved from that to go to the end bit of Manhattan to look at Staten Island. And it was quite funny because you're faced then by a barrage of people who were trying to get you onto various kind of ferries and stuff. And actually there was a sign inside the park that said, don't get tickets from these guys because they're
did it.
Yeah,
because if anyone again is a local or knows the inside info here, we were so confused because somebody came up to us and went, the park's closed. They were doing work. I can't remember the name of the park. Can you? God, we really should have written this down before. I wrote down all my feelings and absolutely none of what anything was called.
But essentially the park.
Oh, here we go. Battery Park?
Yes, that's it. Battery Park.
Yeah.
He said Battery Park was closed and the only way to get any kind of view of Statue of Liberty was to go on a ferry of which he was trying to sell tickets for. Inside the park, which we could get into, it turns out, just by turning left and then right, and there were plenty of people in there, there was a sign that said, those guys that are trying to sell you tickets to ferries, the ferries don't actually exist. You have to get tickets from this particular building. There was a building in the middle of the park. And that would put you on a proper ferry kind of thing. And it's like,
yeah.
But that was so annoying. Beautiful park. It was a beautiful park, wasn't it? It was so lovely.
It was gorgeous. Mm. It was really, really lush. It was such a nice day. Like, we just enjoyed wandering around. You could see the Statue of Liberty pretty well. You could see her in the distance. Though I kept thinking, she does look like a bloke from, unless you're really close. I couldn't really tell. I couldn't see this. We didn't ever get quite close enough to see the spikes of her little hat.
That's true. We didn't.
No. But maybe you did on your ferry.
Of her little hat. Do you mean her crown?
Her crown, sorry.
Yeah, I think I might have done. But again, that was heavily zoomed in. But yeah. So that was lovely. And then we decided to go to Chinatown and... Little Italy, we just
walked through them. It was lovely. That felt like a bit more authentic New York, like maybe where people, it was Soho and NoHo was where we were. And that felt like where people, it was still touristy, of course, but like it felt like maybe a bit more where people live than where we'd been in kind of Manhattan and stuff. And
very,
it was really
very
nice.
Different from Times Square. Yeah, it was really, really so lovely to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the places where we got like little coffees and things. There was that kind of really
oh my God, gorgeous place. This fancy coffee shop. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was a bit, wasn't it?
We went, a huge highlight for me here, two big things that I adored. The big Christmas shop.
The big Christmas shop, yeah.
Oh my God. We went to this Christmas shop and bought Christmas decorations and got overexcited because there was just this huge Santa's Grotto thing. It was amazing. And then Monero's pizza in Little
that
Italy.
Pizza. Oh my God, that really was good. That was so good.
That was so incredible. Good. And I'm really glad because... there were people who were queuing and queuing on Times Square and in the more central area to get to Joe's Pizza, which I think is the big famous one that everybody always wants to go to. And it looked great. But I have to back our little mosey on into Little Italy here because it was, you know, I can't remember how much it was, but for us to get a slice each and like a drink or something, it was
really
nothing, not
very.
I think I paid like $10, $12 or something altogether. And it was really incredible. So greasy,
really
so cheesy.
So hot, because he'd only just cooked it. So we were like burning our mouth going, I really need it. I really need to eat it.
Yeah. But yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, it
so
was
lovely.
Amazing. We just sat outside in like a little street terrace-y bit in the Little Italy kind of district and ate this pizza. And that was a really happy time in my life.
That was lovely. And that, I think then I dragged you to the Flatiron Building. I was just, for some reason, determined for you to see the Flatiron Building, which when we got there was covered in scaffolding.
I know, but that was a bit of a shame, but we got the gist and it was lovely.
Yeah.
And we just kind of wandered the streets of New York and we looked at the different shops and like we didn't really have time to sort of like go in and mosey around. We walked through a market. We just soaked up the vibes really before we had to go and get on a... on a very quick flight, but that because it was through the night was just essentially a descent into madness for us both.
I don't think I have ever felt as sick as I have done on that Tuesday. I was talking about it yesterday where I was saying, yeah, we got into Heathrow at 6 and I was basically, I started work at 10 in the morning, but feeling like I was going to throw up in my hands. And that feeling got even worse because I kept on looking at my watch and my watch would say things like, 3:30 in the morning. And I'd be like, it's not, it's lunchtime.
It was so weird, wasn't it? It was just bizarre. I didn't really get very much work done that day. I don't really know what I did. I
can't remember what I did.
No. But I do remember similarly being like, oh, I better try and have a normal-ish day and go to bed at a normal-ish time because then I'll beat the jet lag. But it was weird. Like, I didn't. I still feel like I'm only just getting back into the swing of, like, I still am exhausted in the mornings.
Yeah, I agree, actually. And I had this on...
It still feels like 5 o'clock in the morning when my alarm goes off kind of thing.
It still felt... I definitely, up until... I'm beginning to feel more human now towards the end of the week. Yeah. But definitely at the weekend, like last Saturday, I still remember Dave just going, I am always up for Dave. Always, always, always.
Yeah.
And on Saturday morning, like at 8:30, I was still fast asleep, which is just not me at all. And all of that week really,
I didn't really,
really
feel
broken.
Like I could recover because I went to London to see my friends from school, which was so dreamy. It was amazing. Yeah. But we stayed up till like 3 o'clock in the morning drinking wine and bitching about people that we used to know when we were 11 or whatever. And so I woke up and I still felt like I think I only got like 5 or 6 hours of sleep that night as well. So it's been borrowed time central. Borrowed time just, HQ over here. Yeah. But I think this weekend it's all going to be a bit more normal and we're going to get back into it. And then on Monday, we'll hit the ground running. I did my strength workout for the first time in 2 weeks because I always do it on a Monday. And you know me, I'm absolutely not going to be working harder than I have to for anybody. So we were in New York for the last Monday and then I can't remember what was going on the Monday after that. But I didn't have time, basically. And so I did it this Monday. No, I actually didn't. So I don't know what I'm on about. I did it on Wednesday. Weird. Don't know. First time in 10 days then. And I have been punished for it severely. My muscles are just calling out in pain. I actually, first time I've had this maybe ever, I woke up in the night and without even moving them, my thighs were like, oh. What the hell? I've been so severely punished for not having done any proper exercise for the last 2 weeks. So I'm getting back in the swing so that I don't have to go through that again because it wasn't very nice getting back into doing the squats.
Oh, mate. Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
I think I reckon I'll leave it until the next podcast to talk about like post-marathon stuff because we've wanged on about, but
do post-marathon stuff. And we've also got so many, I want you all to know, because we've got loads of lovely letters. We've got a hilarious story, we've got a very interesting debate to have. So we will do maybe a longer letters section as well next week because I wanted to do that this week, but we had just so much to say.
We had so much fun. It was
so many tales.
It was, I know, it was epic. And it still feels so peculiar to say it was 10 days ago or whenever it was. It just feels
bizarre. 2 weeks ago, we were in the airport waiting to go.
In the airport.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bizarre.
Really,
I know, completely
really
bizarre.
Bonkers. Yeah.
Oh, the other thing that I want to know from a plane expert, how, and I know there's one of you now who listens, how come it took over 7 hours flight on the way there and it took about 5.5 on the way back? Don't understand.
Mental. Did it have Mental. To close the gap? I mean, and that's not nothing to do with time.
Did we go through a pocket of
A black hole?
Some sort of Bermuda Triangle?
Yeah.
But we did fly quite near the Bermuda Triangle. We were like, don't look at that on the map.
But yeah, I thought is it more windy going in the other direction? Don't know.
Yeah, maybe the winds are just pushing us forwards. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Let us know.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. Do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.